Yes, what up, Road to Victory podcast. Today we got a special guest in the building. You know what I'm saying? Someone I admire, someone I look up to, someone who's always been a grinder, always stood in his lane, you know, and just overall a great human being. I got my cousin in the building today, real estate mogul. We got Todd Coleman in the building.
Appreciate it. Yeah, appreciate it, cuz, that introduction, man. You know, we go way back, man, from childhood, man. I see your consistency in this podcast thing, man. And you know, I love the consistency, man. And that's why, you know, that's the biggest thing, man. Just to see you keep doing it. And it's my pleasure that you allow me to come on here to end the year off. That's special, man. I really appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? It's about time, man. You saw me shining for a little while and stuff like that. You done made it to the big leagues.
Right.
Road to Victory podcast.
Right. And I know it's your lane, man. I know you like it, because anybody that can do something for this long and it's consistent, you know. It says a lot, man. So I know you're enjoying yourself when you do these things, yeah, man. So I can't wait to see. I'm happy to see where you've taken it, and I can't wait to see how further you're going to take it.
And that's game right there. You know what I'm saying? My first advice in gym is like, yo, when you love what you do, it's not work, bro. Right. It's not work. You could be out hustling 24 hours straight. You know what I'm saying? Come to what you love to do and do it like it ain't nothing. You know exactly. What I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Nah, that's important, man. That's the first thing, man, to find what you love, because it ain't work, man. And if you could get in your pocket where you doing something every day and you know you loving it, you know you enjoying it, it's nothing like it. And you could benefit from it in different right. ways, not just only money, man, but just, you know, from a mental aspect, just it could be your little pocket and your little getaway. And that sometimes that's enough too.
Yeah, this is for me, this is education, man. My schooling stopped over 10 years ago, but I never stopped learning, because you know what I mean? I never stopped learning, and I want to continue to learn and grow and stuff like that. But getting right into it, you know what I'm saying? I want to introduce you to the audience, and you know, before we catch up to where you are right now, let's take it back, man. Living in the Bronx, what that was like, out of your mom's crib at 18. That's old school. Nowadays, people don't even leave the nest no more, bro.
Word, man. Man, listen, man. You want to go back that far, man?
Yeah, well, man.
We could do it. We could do it, man. Look. I'm not just saying this, man, but yo, I was talking to my man Sekou, who lived across the street from me when he was growing up. He actually lived in co-op now. Last time I came up to visit, I went and seen him. He was in California with his sister for a while, but he's in Co-op City. And we touched on that a little bit, man, just about our childhood and how much fun we had, man. And how that whole, whatever you want to call it, 10 block radius was our little canvas to do everything that we wanted to do and have all the types of fun we wanted to have. To us, that 10 block radius was the world. And right. You know, we did everything, man. It probably was probably about 30 of us. And you
that's
know
deep.
Yeah. But you know, never all of us at the same time. But man, I could all, you know, all different friends that I hung out with through different times in my life, from, you know, from 4 to 18, all came from that neighborhood, man. And I actually started out on 1600 Cedric Avenue, the 1600 building.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
C-Core, right?
Nah, bro. Over there by over there by High Bridge, man. Over there, yeah. By right next to the Joker steps.
Right.
That was my building right there. But I can't even talk about that, because I moved. My mom and my pops got us uptown probably when I was 4. So by the time I started going to school, I was already over there on Dyer. I grew up on the Munson, Emerson Avenue. You know what I'm saying? And then, yeah, man. So I was, you know, I mean, like everybody else, man, I went to PS 68 right there off of Baychester, Strang Avenue, man. And then when, you know, was a knucklehead, got in a lot of trouble and stuff like that, left there, everybody went to, after that, went to Sousa, across the street from your building, right?
Right, right.
So my mom didn't want me to go to Sousa. And I was like, Ma, I don't want to go to Sousa. That's where everybody I know is going. Where am I supposed to go? You're going to Catholic school, you're going to Nativity. So she actually put me in Nativity, which is on Dyer Avenue, is a Catholic school where I had to dress up, wear the tie, wear the pants and everything, the slacks, the same uniform. Everybody looked exactly the same. And I didn't understand it, man. But my brother, he came up 9 years ahead of me. You know what I'm saying? So he went through that. He went to, you know, 68, then he went to Sousa, then he went to Truman, and then he left and he went to the Navy. So, you know, I guess all of his trials and tribulations, my mother used as like a learning experience so she was able to know, you know, the path she wanted me to take and the path she didn't want me to take. And although I didn't understand it at the time, you know, it's a blessing to me. I get it looking back now and why she wanted to make sure that, you know, I had an education and I wasn't around, you know, people that probably wasn't, that they might not have my best interest in mind. It might've took me in a way, it might've influenced me in a different way that I might not have wanted to be influenced at that time, or might not have understood that I was being influenced at that time. So, you know, I appreciate that. And then from there, you know, it was kind of like the best of both worlds, man. I grew up in the hood, man. I know I Nikki get on me all the time. She's like, man, those the private houses, man. Shut up, man. But believe me, man, it was still looking at it, it's still the hood. I was 10 minutes.
It was walk. Right across the street.
Yeah, I was a 10-minute walk from y'all, man. So, you know, I grew up with you, cuz, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you remember, but y'all was like my second family, cuz I stayed over here. Every time my mom's left and, you know, didn't want me to be in a house by herself, she sent me over there with y'all. So it's like, I say I had the best of both worlds, man. On the school side of things, I was able to be around, you know, a lot of people that didn't look like me, a lot of people that, you know, was different from the culture that I grew up on in the neighborhood that I was in. And then on the other side of that, you know, it was the block where, you know, I was learning street type of stuff and kind of combining best of those worlds. And that's what's made me who I am today, bro.
That's what's up. Yo, that school you went to, even though it's down the street, never heard of or never saw it in my life. Well, I want to fast forward to 18. When you left the nest, you didn't even just leave the crib, but you left the state. You know what I mean? What was that whole thing like? How was you processing? Like, was you eager to just get out the crib or, you know?
You know what, man? I wouldn't even call it eager, man. I mean, by the time I had gotten to 18, just because of, you know what I mean, my schooling, like, you know, cause like I had mentioned, like, you know, after that, you know, I went to high school. I went to Fordham Prep on Fordham, across the street from Roosevelt. But I got, you know, it was fast paced. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. I was still from the block, man. So it didn't work out after my first year and they didn't invite me back. So
but you know, Fordham Prep is huge, bro. Not anybody could get into that.
So. Yeah, I appreciate that, man. That. So yeah, even looking back, man, I never even thought about it like that. But I guess you're right, man. And then I ended up in Salesian in New Rochelle after that, man. Or another all boys school, man. Yeah. And then you know, so going to school, you know what I'm saying? I was doing everything, like I said, I was doing everything that everybody else was doing, but I got to see another world where nobody looked like me. I was probably like 5% of my school, people who looked like me being, you know, black is black, right? So in that type of environment, it's kind of like, they made it seem like after high school, that you go to college, right? So it wasn't even really like no thought process of what was gonna happen after high school. In most Catholic high schools or, you know, schools that you pay in to go to school for, they're preparing you. It's a college preparatory, you know what I'm saying, in most cases. So every class I took and every, you know, path that they put me on, in my mind was, okay, the next thing I'm supposed to be doing is go to college. So when I was 18, when I turned 18, it wasn't like no big plan or nothing that I really had in my mind. It's just that when I was in high school, one of my classes, we applied to colleges. So my brother, 9 years older than me, he lived in Virginia already because he was in the Navy. I didn't really know of anything outside of New York. and also being influenced by the people around me also in school, nobody was staying local. Everybody was applying to colleges here, there, different states, different cities, DC, Virginia, Florida. So I'm like, okay, let me just apply to three schools. So I applied to three schools in Virginia because I knew that's where my brother was, even though he's 9 years older than me. It was the only other thing I knew about outside of New York. So I applied to Hampton University, I applied to Old Dominion University, and I applied to Virginia State. And I got into Virginia State and Hampton. And I drove, I came down on a little tour of the campuses, went and saw Virginia State, went to Hampton, saw a lot of girls, even though, And my decision to leave New York and move to Hampton, Virginia, and go to Hampton University was literally not based off of anything that had to do with school, but it was just driving, riding around the campus and like, yo, it's a lot of girls out here. And that's how I ended up in Hampton, Virginia at the age of 18, man. And never looked back, never wanted to look back. I felt like, you know, once I got up out of there, even though this probably might not have been true, but having not being able to do it and having to go back home seemed like it would have been a failure to me. So as ill as things have gotten throughout the years from 18 and on, I always made sure that I grounded and do what I needed to do to never ever have to come back home and knock on my mom's door like I'm back.
Right. That's crazy. You know, that's my biggest fear. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yo, there's nothing wrong with it, man. This was just my mentality. It's fine. I got good friends to this day and I got a district attorney, of lawyers, and people that I grew up with that still live in their parents' crib in the home, not because they can't leave, but in that part of the neighborhood, like the home that you grew up in, you pass from generation to generation.
Okay,
so the kids grow up in there, the grandparents pass, then the mom owns the crib, then, after that, then the kids own the crib, and then it just keep going through generation to generation. So it's nothing wrong with that. But once I left, I was like, oh, nah, we not going back.
Right, right. I remember visiting you in Virginia when I had my little girlfriend and stuff like that. And one of my finest memories and what kind of sparked my mind to get me where I am today was I'm repeating verbatim, but you was messing with the Forex before anybody knew what the Forex was, bro. Yeah. You like 2009, bro, on the Forex, and you told me like, yo, this what the white people don't teach you. This is what they ain't teaching us. So that started me on like a whole level of entrepreneurship. And I've seen, like you said, we grew up together. I've seen you like into the video games and into recreational stuff and stuff like that, you know, and to just level up, you know what I compare it to? I compare it to Jay-Z. I read his book, Decoded, right? And he said it was one time him, Dame, and Biggs was in a truck and they drove to a club. They drove to a club and it was dudes outside of the club like they wanted beef and stuff like that. They wanted to start problems. Yeah. And Jay was like, yo, come on, let's go in there and smash these dudes. Right. And Biggs was like, nah, we just gonna go to another club. He was like, we not scared. Ain't nobody in here scared. Let's go. But later on, Jay-Z said he realized that it wasn't even about being scared. It was just about, you know, leveling up to the point where you don't just be doing dumb stuff no more. You know what I mean?
No reason. Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you hit that point? You know what I'm saying? Because I see you now and then to go all the way back then. What was it for you to like just hit the switch to get you to where you are today?
Man, all right. So since you brought it up, man, you know, I've always had like some type of entrepreneurial spirit in me.
Right.
I don't know. I contribute that to my mom. Another something else I contribute to my mom's, man. She sold, in addition to her 9-to-5, man, she sold Omni, which was like costume jewelry.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, man, she used to have like the parties at the house. And she used to set up the jewelry and on the table and invite mad people over. And then I used to help her set it up. It used to be like little stands on a table, and we put the safety pins to make sure the jewelry stick to the back, and so the sets look all nice and everything. And people used to come over, and they used to just come over and spend money.
Right.
I remember, sometimes she used to go to the spot to re up on some more jewelry and some more costume jewelry. I used to be outside in the car. I used to be in the car for like an hour. They were just waiting for her to come back down, like, while she was up there handling her business. Same thing with Mary Kay, same thing with Lou, everything. So I guess it was always in my mind, but I didn't, I was still liking it, man, the best of both worlds. I had good influences, but at the same time, I was outside a lot, most of the time.
Outside.
So I had, I'm not even gonna call them bad influences, because, I was influenced by the people outside as well. So the way that I chose, even though, I didn't have to do anything to get extra money, I was okay in the sense of having a roof over my head and food on my back. I mean, and food in my stomach and clothes on my back. But I always wanted more. So early, from like 16, I decided I was going to be the biggest weed man. The biggest weed dealer, man, and like the El Chapo of weed, bro. That's what I decided that's what's gonna happen, yo. Even on my way, so I used to started going down like East Tremont, Freeman Street,
right
down there and stuff. I used to, buy little, you guys come uptown back to Dyer and split them up and then sell them and then make three out of one. So When I got to Virginia, man, I went to Hampton University for a year. That was a great, I told y'all up until this point, but I'm gonna keep it a buck. I got, they didn't invite me back. I got kicked out of school at the end of my freshman year of college. The reason I got kicked out of school is I was, partaking in some things that, was frowned upon as they should be on campus. So, I got caught, I got in trouble, and it was a wrap from there. After that, I started going to, a couple of community colleges. At this point, I'm paying for it myself because I had already messed up some money that my mom had invested for me to go to school. So I'm still trying, but I'm trying to do it on my own. And, I kind of lost the passion to keep going to class and stuff like that. And I just started getting into just the regular life. I was becoming somebody that was from New York that lived in Virginia to somebody that now got embedded into, now that I no longer have school and a campus structure, I'm actually living in Virginia as an adult. So at this point, I'm looking at like, I have to work, man. You know what I'm saying? And what I learned real quick, I started at Chinello's Pizza. I bought a 1987 Acura Integra, driving around delivering pizza. All day, every day, from like when I woke up to when I went to sleep, I was delivering.
Great hero delivered pizza, bro.
I was delivering a hell of some pizza, but at the same time, while I was delivering pizza, I still wasn't doing right. I was still trying to be the biggest El Chapo, and I had weed on me at the same time I was delivering pizza, doing that as well. So I was living in Portsmouth, Virginia, and while I was doing this, two things happened. I got fired from Chinello's because I was taking all the deliveries. When I used to come back, it'd be like four deliveries there. I used to yap all of them. I used to deliver everything. You really only supposed to take one or two because, it's more than one driver. And I'm taking the biggest ones and the most expensive ones. So that was frowned upon, and that didn't work out. And also, while I was driving and delivering pizza, because I also was hustling, people knew when I wasn't home. So my door got kicked in twice because it's obviously if I'm outside driving, delivering pizza, I'm not home. And you know what I'm doing. So, I probably have something at home. So with that being the case, I was like, damn, one day I might be here when they kick in my door. Right. So I left Portsmouth, Virginia, and I went back to Hampton. And then I started working at a job called it was called West Corporation. You just take phone calls for infomercials that people watch at 3 a.m. So I was making like $10 to $12 an hour. And I was like, man, this is all right. What I noticed quick, real fast when I got into the workforce was like, I had a passion to like do great at anything that I ever that I did. So as, right. even as an employee, I wanted to be the greatest employee. But what I didn't like is that the person right next to me, right? He's not as good as me. He's slacking off. He's not working as hard as me. And we getting the same $10 to $12 an hour.
Right.
So that was probably the last job. And this is fast forward 19, 20 years old. That's probably the last job I had where I got paid per hour. Every job I've ever had since that point was commission, where I felt like I'm going to get paid based off of how good I am in my performance, how well I could speak, and how good I could sell, versus just us getting paid the same amount regardless of how hard we work or how much labor we're putting in. So I mean, to answer your question, man, you know, I always back then I thought that was going to be the route. I was going to be the salesman. I was going to be the biggest salesman and make the biggest commissions in whatever industry I could get in. So I'm still finding myself, you know what I'm saying? I worked at MCI where I'm selling long distance service over the phone. I sold timeshare before where I'm getting people to take 3-day, 2-night vacations so they could come down and do a 90-minute tour. I'm actually the ones that's taking them on a 90-minute tour. I did that too. I sold Kirby vacuum cleaners. I worked for Sprint retention department for 7 years where people call them to cancel. And my job was to convince them not to cancel. And if I could do that, I get paid a commission. I worked at T-Mobile. I sold cell phones. So it was just a matter of, you know, me just, I was, you know, always know that I wanted to hustle, and I knew I couldn't always do it being bad. What made me get away from, you know, weed or ever nothing wanted to, this is what made me stop ever wanting to do this again, man. I got in trouble in like 02. And I had got locked up and they were trying to give me a year. But I had like maybe 2 ounces. And I was like, and my mother came down, cause that's all I had, my mother. And at that time, her boyfriend, Joe, they came down and bailed me out. My mother was about to die, yo. Like she was about to like, I was scared. Like how to pieces she was, more to pieces than I was. And I was the one that was in trouble. So I was like, you know, from that point, I was like, all right, this can't be the hustle no more, because if they're trying to give me 12 months off of this little bit, imagine if I got caught with something, you know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, so I'm gonna chill. And then at that point, you asked about Forex and stuff like that. While I'm at work and I'm doing it, I knew I didn't want to be any type of supervisor. I knew I didn't want to be any type of manager because I was seeing how much they made, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, well, I'm on the phones and I'm making more than my supervisor. So I didn't want to do that. And I didn't want to be a manager like inside of the call centers and stuff like that. So I had a yearning for, like you were saying, like, you know, learning and just teaching myself, you know, a way that I could get, become successful outside of the traditional 9-to-5 environment. And that's when I started learning about like stocks and investing and Forex, which is, you know, foreign currencies. It's the foreign exchange currency. And those are the type of things I started dabbling in to see if I could try to make an income or try to create some type of financial stability outside of your traditional, you know what I mean, workplace.
Right, right. Because fast forward now, you're into real estate. And I wanted to know, what do you feel yourself becoming in order to, you know, do real estate? Like if you had to give the audience advice about real estate, what would it be?
Well, it's not, you know, in my case, it's just insert real estate, but for anybody, it could be anything. And it's really about, you know, I'm 42 now. And I saw how quick I became 42. Cause last year I was 25. You know what I'm saying? And I'm 42 this year. So I'm like, yo, that went by fast, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, money is great. And I mean, I know this is cliche, but you know, the time, man, the time factor is real. And because we have so much little of it, you know, we've kind of been, you know, systemized, right? It, you know, work 8 9 hours a day. probably take you an hour to get there, hour to get home. That's 10. You got to sleep for 8.
That's, and you got to raise a family.
That's 18. That's 18 hours. Right. And you ain't even eat yet. You ain't even have any type of social. You didn't have any social life. You didn't have any fun. You didn't do anything with your family, your parents, your kids, your brothers, your sisters. And you already 18 hours out of your, you know, out of your 24 hour day is gone. So you got 6 hours to really, you got to take a shower twice a day, supposed to brush your teeth, make your bed. You know what I mean? Eat 3 times a day and all of that. The 6 hours is gone. So, I mean, I say that to say, like, you know, that structure to me, I had an epiphany that, you know, even when I was in sales and, you know, you're getting commission checks, but I'm still here 9 hours a day, sometimes even longer to make the checks even bigger. And I'm like, okay, how do I continue this? When I left Sprint, I had Skyler. I left Sprint and I left on FMLA, which is, you know, where you leave when you have a kid, you get to take a couple of months out, just to be able to, you know, take care of the family situation before you come back to work. But after I got off of FMLA, I went back to work for like a week and then I was like, I can't. So, you know, when I left there, that's when I really started trading and really doing the Forex thing. I took my 401k, I cashed it out and started trying to make it work and invested and do it myself. And what I found was, you know, it was actually harder than going to work, but it was my time. So when I say insert real estate, you can insert real estate. You can really insert anything that you want to do that you can find a way to become successful at, enjoy and create an income off of, out of the traditional way of doing it. I think that's the path to finding enjoyment out of life when it's 100% yours, as opposed to, you know, you having to confine or to certain type of things based off of, you know, who your boss is and where you got to be at certain time.
You gotta pay the weed man, pay the middle man, and then you left with what's left.
Right, exactly. You know, it's, you know,
you gotta do all the selling and then whatever's left.
Yeah, you're getting pennies on the dollar, man. So this real estate thing is just a vehicle. It's just a vehicle. What I'm trying to create is a freedom that allows me to, you know, do what I want to do when I want to do it, and not have to answer to anybody except the people that I want to answer to. Right. And it's just really about taking ownership of my life, man. And that's very important to me. So, you know, the rental, you know, the real estate is an avenue that's gonna help me do that, continue to do that.
That's what's up, cuz. Congratulations in advance and making the transition, you know what I mean? And I want that for myself. I want that for my family. I want that for everybody too, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nah, man. It's I mean, to me it's important, man, because we only get to do this as far as I know. As far as I know, you know, obviously we don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody's ever came back and told us. But as far as I know, we only get to do this one time. And that's a double edge to me, because it scares me.
Right.
That we only get to do this one time. But at the same time, it motivates me. It keeps me disciplined, because I want to get the best out of that one time that I could possibly get, mentally, physically, spiritually, and financially.
Right, cuz. That's what's up. It's been a long year heading out of COVID, you know, at the tail end of COVID and stuff like that. You know, as we approach the new year, what would you say that you learned about yourself?
Man, all right. So, man, coming into COVID, I mean, I'm in Austin, Texas now, man. I moved here from Virginia in 2016. So first 18 years of my life in New York, second 18 years of my life in Virginia. And then this is about 6 years here. So that's my whole life.
I was down there Thanksgiving, cuz try to recruit me. Like, yo, you ain't got nothing in New York. Come on, man.
Yo, man, I tell me about it, man. And I like it here, man. You know, when I first got here, I was driving for Lyft. And you know, I enjoyed doing that when I first got here, even though I went through a couple of cars doing it, but it allowed me to learn the city and then also again work on my time. But then the pandemic hit, you know, and nobody was getting rides anymore. So it dried up real quick. So I had to figure out another way to earn some money. And I went on a couple of interviews. And then again, man, I was like, man, I can't. So YouTube University, man. What I learned is, you know, a lot of stuff out here is not like when we was growing up where we had to go to the library, go to the encyclopedia section. Unless you had a couple of dollars, you know, you had the encyclopedias in your crib. But even those encyclopedias on the bookshelf was in the crib. Them joints is all ripped up. The letter T and V was missing. So, but yo, you know what I'm saying? You go to a certain page, it's colored on. You know the encyclopedias joints we had in the house back in the day.
But now
we have the internet. So, man, I don't know. The future is going to be crazy because with what we have at our hands and the ability to really educate ourselves on anything that we want to learn and be educated on, I don't know how it gets any better than that. I mean, the internet to some, social media to some, it could be used, it could be hurtful depending on, you know, what you're soaking up. But at the same time, it could be very informative. So when the pandemic hit, that's when I actually dived in and started learning about the real estate game. So, and not necessarily like buying houses and stuff like that. Well, how can I make money now, today? I got my rent is due at the end of the month. And that's when I learned about wholesaling, which is basically just getting a house under contract for a certain price, finding another buyer who wants to pay more for it and selling it to him and taking the money in between. And that's what I learned how to do from scratch. I knew nothing about it. So those from 2020 to now, what I've learned is that our abilities are way beyond what we give ourselves credit for. I think we live in a world of contentment, you know what I'm saying? Where, you know, a lot of people is just like, yo, I'm good. I could probably do better, but I'm okay. And that's enough for most people, which I'm cool with. As long as, you know, you're happy within, I can't be not happy with you for not doing something if you are truly happy from within. But for me, you know, I always want to push myself to do better, to do more. And I learned that my ability to do that is unlimited within the last probably like year or two. That's what I've taught myself. And my biggest thing is being mad at myself that at 42, I feel like I understand what not only hard work, because it's people that work hard, but still, you know what I'm saying, and still trying to figure it out. But not just hard work, but application of things that you teach yourself to be able to work smarter and find ways that you can maximize your time and do more with the little bit of time we have to, you know, maximize everything that you can. And that's really what it comes down to, man. And that's what I've learned. So now everything, I've become like extra. I mean, sometimes, man, I know I go a little bit overboard, but just because I showed my ability to be able to do that from nothing when the pandemic hit till now, like that's how I approach literally everything with just like not doing anything, doing everything at 100%. Everything has to be done at 100%. And now even as it comes out my mouth, I still don't do everything at 100%. But I don't look at life as like a place where I'm trying to get. I look at the journey as the fun part. So me not being somewhere that I want to be, and knowing that in my head, and that I'm having that tug of war battle with myself, that I want to get here, but today I overslept. Like, I was supposed to do this podcast with you yesterday, but I was a no-call, no-show. You know what I'm saying? I'm not perfect. You know what I'm saying? But I respect you. I respect your platform, and I know that wasn't cool. So being 100%, I'm still working on myself. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I recognize within my shortcomings, and my fun is you know, eliminating those shortcomings, becoming better, not trying to get to somewhere, but the act of actually doing it. I love it. And that's life to me.
That's
what I've learned over the last 2 years coming up into 2022. And that's the approach I'm taking into 2023. So I can't wait for this new year, actually, honestly, because I want to hit the ground running, and I want to spread the love. I want to spread the knowledge. I want to spread the joy and give it up to anybody who, you know what I mean, who's doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's all powerful, cuz all powerful, and it probably changed somebody's life, you know what I'm saying? So I want to thank you. As we put a bow on this thing, I wanted to ask you, you got any, what would you tell your 18-year-old self?
Man, I'm telling my 18-year-old self right now, cuz I got an 18-year-old, well, I got a 19-year-old son, and I'm literally talking to myself.
Shout out, Makai.
Yeah, shout out to Makai, shout out to Nolan. Those are my
auntie. Two,
you know, and then you know, my youngest Skylar, she's 9. But you know, that's kind of easy to answer, man, because you know, I you know, not I try not to be hypocritical, but I wasted a lot of time trying to get to the right places the wrong way. And I understand as we grow up, we live and we learn and we go through experiences and we learn from those experiences. And those are things that have to happen. Sometimes, you know, people could tell you something until you blew in the face, but until you actually experience it and touch that hot stove yourself and burn yourself, you're like, okay, damn, that's what you was talking about. So I say, you know, I wish I would have surrounded myself with with people that would have put me in a path that I see myself going now a lot earlier. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, now I look at it like I'm 42, like, dang, man, I could have been doing this from 22, man, and I would have been crazy right now. But that's a part of life experiences. So I don't regret anything. I look back on every part of my life and I wouldn't trade any of it, man. I wouldn't trade any of it. It was a real life, man. It was fun. It was a fun life. But having a child now that's 18, 19, and you asking me, what would I do different? It's just putting myself around people that's doing positive things, that has positive outlooks on life, that even if your definition of success doesn't look like my definition of success, you're working towards something positive. That's going to be beneficial to you and your family. Looking back, those are the experiences I wish I could have put myself around more. And then I probably would have, you know, turned myself off of the path that I thought was going to take me where I wanted to go a lot faster than I had. And that's the same thing I try to, you know, instill in my kids. And I get it. I understand, you know, they have peers, they, you know, we have music. We have all of these things that influencing us and, you know, showing us, you know, what we're supposed to look at a certain point in time in our life. And I get it. And, you know, I had the same thing. You know, I listen to all the same stuff. I still do. But, you know, I understand now it's entertainment.
It's just different.
Yo, Zan Diggity. Go. Only improving, this man is fantastic. To only celebrate with people you was in the lab with. Chemistry, energy, if it's meant to be, then it's meant for me. Social studies, creating history, I'm talking homework. Only paper was loosely wooden wingman. Couldn't afford a two-piece, my life is like a movie. Zombie though, dead special, God bless you, had to participate in my own rescue. Uncle said, go ahead, nephew, keep pushing forward. Remain center, but I'm looking forward. Shooting stars, praying for a sign. Just point guard on the road to victory. Said nothing about a scorecard. Filled with your scar with bruises. Nothing leaked through though. Started learning self-love, started letting people go. Basic education, but still feel the need to know. Standing in the mirror, asking where the leaders go. The teachers go, he reading slow. Maybe he's remedial. Watch me even the odds. Got up on that TV show, it's unbelievable. Sort of like what Big said, but I'm dope like Tobey, no wig way.